Chapter 31, and last. The next morning we fell early to work, for the transportation of this great mass of gold near a mile by land to the beach, and thence 3 miles by boat to the Hispaniola, was a considerable task for so small a number of workmen. The three fellows still aboard the island did not greatly trouble us. A single sentry on the shoulder of the hill was sufficient to ensure us against any sudden onslaught, and we thought, besides, they had had more than enough of fighting. Therefore the work was pushed on briskly. Gray and Ben Gunn came and went with the boat, while the rest, during their absences, piled treasure on the beach. Two of the bars, slung in a rope's end, made a good load for a grown man, one that he was glad to walk slowly with. For my part, as I was not much use at carrying, I was kept busy all day in the cave, packing the minted money into bread bags. It was a strange collection, like Billy Bones's hoard for the diversity of coinage, but so much larger and so much more varied that I think I never had more pleasure than in sorting them. English, French, Spanish, Portuguese, Georges and Louis, doubloons and double guineas, and the pictures of all the kings of Europe for the last 100 years. Strange oriental pieces stamped with what looked like wisps of string or bits of spider web. Round pieces and square pieces, and pieces bored through the middle, as if to wear them round your neck. Nearly every variety of money in the world must, I think, have found a place in that collection. And for number, I am sure they were like autumn leaves, so that my back ached with stooping and my fingers with sorting them out. Day after day this work went on. By every evening a fortune had been stowed aboard, but there was another fortune waiting for the morrow, and all this time we heard nothing of the three surviving mutineers. At last, I think it was on the third night, the doctor and I were strolling on the shoulder of the hill where it overlooks the lowlands of the isle, when, from out the thick darkness below, the wind brought us a noise between shrieking and singing. It was only a snatch that reached our ears, followed by the former silence. "Heaven forgive them," said the doctor. "'Tis the mutineers." "All drunk, sir," struck in the voice of Silver from behind us. Silver, I should say, was allowed his entire liberty, and, in spite of daily rebuffs, seemed to regard himself once more as quite a privileged and friendly dependent. Indeed, it was remarkable how well he bore these slights, and with what unwearying politeness he kept on trying to ingratiate himself with all. Yet I think none treated him better than a dog, unless it was Ben Gunn, who was still terribly afraid of his old quartermaster, or myself, who had really something to thank him for, although, for that matter, I suppose I had reason to think even worse of him than anybody else, for I had seen him meditating a fresh treachery upon the plateau. Accordingly, it was pretty gruffly that the doctor answered him. "Drunk or raving," said he. "Right you are, sir," replied Silver. "I suppose you would hardly ask me to call you a human man," returned the doctor with a sneer. "And so my feelings may surprise you, Master Silver. But if I were sure they were raving, as I am morally certain one, at least, of them is, I should leave this camp, and, at whatever risk to my own body, take them the assistance of my skill." "Ask your pardon, sir, you would be very wrong," said Silver. "You would lose your precious life. I'm on your side now, hand and glove, and I shouldn't wish to see the party weakened, let alone yourself, seeing as I know what I owe you. But those men down there, they couldn't keep their word. No, not supposing they wished to. And what's more, they couldn't believe as you could." "No," said the doctor, "you're the man to keep your word. We know that." Well, that was about the last news we had of the three pirates. Only once we heard a gunshot a great way off, and supposed them to be hunting. A council was held, and it was decided that we must desert them on the island, to the huge glee, I must say, of Ben Gunn, and with the strong approval of Gray. We left a good stock of powder and shot, the bulk of the salted goat, a few medicines and some other necessaries, tools, clothing, a fathom or two of rope, and by the particular desire of the doctor, a handsome present of tobacco. That was about our last doing on the island. Before that, we had got the treasure stowed, and had shipped enough water and the remainder of the goat meat in case of any distress, and at last, one fine morning, we weighed anchor, which was about all that we could manage, and stood out of North Inlet, the same colors flying that the captain had flown and fought under at the palisade. The three fellows must have been watching us closer than we thought, as we soon proved,